I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients, it's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. True love might be over, but I'm just getting started.
Okay. I'm the host with the most. And by the most, I mean most. Sarah did help me.
No, that was good. That was it. Do the line delivery on the second part one more time. I'm the host with the most. Like, very drama. Very drama.
I'm the host with the most. And I do mean the most.
Love was it. That it? Is no, that was really okay. Good. That okay. Was really
thank
good.
Thank you. Yeah, Sarah wrote that one for me. Because I'm now a host at Page Six. Things have changed.
I mean, there has been a little bit of a life update. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 580. And I'm so excited to have a return guest straight from Los Angeles, but here once again, permanent resident here in the great state of Manhattan, which is how we think of it. Welcome back, host at Page Six, co-host of Page Six's podcast, Virtual Reality, New York City's own Evan Real. Evan, how are we?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I'm so happy to be back in the cloffice.
Amen.
Now I just live right across the East River on Roosevelt Island, so Floppus visits can happen more frequently.
I love that, because you know I am a big fan of texting you and being like, do you want to hop on a Zoom in 10 minutes? And
well, now it's just hop on a tram and have a little stroll uptown.
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, just selfishly, I love recording in person. It's just, you know this as a podcaster, there's such a difference in energy and conversation when it's in person via Zoom. So this is selfishly phenomenal news for me. Yeah. Phenomenal news for me.
Yeah, in person is so much better. And that's the thing too, like now being in the studio at Page Six and doing the podcast with Danny. Danny Murphy's my co-host. He's amazing. We have the guests in studio together. The energy is different. It really is. And do you know what I will say? So for the past few months, so Page Six built this big, new, beautiful studio, and we have been utilizing it. But when I was in LA, there was like this big screen, which was cool because I could like zoom in from it, and like my face is like 6 feet tall, and so when we have like a Gina Kirchenhider in studio, she can talk to my face on the big screen. Danny's there in person in the chair, and the flow felt nice via Zoom, like from where I was sitting in LA with my face looking like the Wizard of Oz. But then so recently Tamra came into the studio. She was a hoot and a half. I saw some of your comments on Instagram.
We can talk about that.
But she was in person. I was in person. Danny was actually in LA for a friend's birthday. And so he zoomed in. And the way it works, like you have like a little earpiece in. The quality of the sound isn't great. And I felt so bad for anyone who dealt with me on that Zoom, particularly people like a Countess Luann who put an earpiece in her ear and then listened to my little grainy voice. Like it's honestly hard to hear. Like I personally hated it. So any Bravo celebrities who dealt with me on the Zoom and that terrible earpiece, thank you so much. Also, I think I have a deformed ear because it kept falling out of my ear.
No.
The earpiece is not for me.
Oh my God.
And I don't know how we got here, but anyways, the in-person energy. We love a real life interaction.
So who is your dream to have in person in the studio, and would that answer change if it was like, who are you next, you know, who would you love to interview over Zoom? Like, is there someone who you just would love to sit down with? Does that make a difference in who your dream guest could be?
Yeah, I think so, because yeah, the energy in real life is so different. So when I think of someone who I would like die to sit down with in person, or just like even have in the studio, I would really. And I've had in-person moments with her before, and I love it every single time. We did have some beef. We got through it. But Erika Jayne, I am a big fan of her as a musician when she was just an obscure pop girl before Housewives, when she was opening for Kim Zolciak at gay nightclubs in New York City. I was there, present, and accounted for. I would love to have like a longer form interview moment with her. Just because I am so fascinated with her and her story and everything that she's been through. And I need more time with her in person to, I think, unpack the little bit of beef that we had. It was involving...
Yeah, what was the beef?
So I thought about this, like, I couldn't sleep at night sometimes thinking about my beef with Erika Jayne.
Oh, my God.
So what happened was during a live show that we had with Sutton as a guest, and Sutton I love so much, she did our September live show in 2023. She made a joke about Erika Jayne's alleged $7 ticket sales, and then maybe they were $1, and she was like, I can take the whole room to Vegas if I wanted to. Ha, 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 LOL. That clip went sort of viral on the internet, and while Danny and I didn't necessarily giggle with the girls, we also like didn't defend Erika in that moment. And I don't know if that was like our responsibility to defend. And like, I was just letting the moment happen. Like Sutton made her joke, the crowd was feeling it, and I didn't say anything or step in. And then BravoCon was about a month and a half later. And so prior to the September live show, I did Erika's big press day for the Vegas residency. I went to the Live Nation offices. We had a moment. I wore my merch. I told her how I'd, you know, got my hands on a fake ID just so I could see her open for Kim Zolciak at Splash in 2009.
Oh, like, my God.
I was like, I'd let her know like how dedicated I was to her pop pursuits. And I think she really appreciated that. And I was like asking like questions more about like the music, less about Housewives. And I think that she like really appreciated that, having that conversation, especially ahead of the residency, et cetera. So in her mind, I think she like clocked me as like a super fan, which I am. Like, I really do love her music. And so I think that it really hurt her to see that I didn't step in to say anything like, oh, like, come on, like, what, just defend her in some way, knowing the history I have like with her and her music, etc. So then it's BravoCon like a month and a half later, and she doesn't just skip me and Danny on the carpet. She like stomps very fiercely. She looked amazing when she was stomping past us. It was just like, I could tell she made the effort to let us know that this moment was not happening. And I turned to Danny. I was like, oh my God, I know she's upset about the Sutton thing. So then I just sat on that for months and months and months. And then finally there is a DirecTV Oscars viewing party for like Housewives and Bravo celebrities in March. And Erika Jayne is there. Danny and I are on the carpet. She is stomping past us again. She did say hi, boys. She said hi, boys this time, but did not stop for an interview. So I was like, okay, she's still mad, but a little bit warmer. So then we get into the party and we're at the bar getting drinks, and I see her in a booth and she's with Heather McDonald just having a little chit chat. I'm friendly with Heather McDonald, say hi to Heather, do a little kind of half hi to Erica. And so I'm talking to Danny, our Diet Cokes are on the way, and he's like, should you? And I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna swoop in after Heather and like just put this to bed, like get clarity, whatever it is. And turns out I was right. She was upset, and she explained to me how hurt she was that I, as a fan of her music, didn't step in to maybe not even just defend, like just like say something in support of her, be like, hey, like I've been to a show and it's actually like a lot of fun and worth every dollar. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't say anything, and she was just like very hurt by that, because I guess the joke really cut to the bone, because that was such a like a victory for her after she had been through the ringer with the whole Girardi of it all. And anyway, she was just very, very hurt, but we made amends. I told her like I meant no ill will by not speaking up. I was just, you know, letting Sutton have the floor, but I think we're cool. And so hopefully she can come in studio and we can have like a nice conversation, maybe even play some of the Pretty Mess first album.
This is fascinating to me because you think of the relationships that Housewives have with the press, but specifically Page Six, which is like the A-list. When you think of how many times Page Six has been mentioned over any other media outlet through every Housewives franchise, it's like there's no comparison. Raider Online, obviously specific to Beverly Hills, has had a moment, but Page Six since day one of New York has been at the absolute forefront. I always consider it a friend of on OG New York, genuinely, like Jill leaking to Page Six, Bethany, like Lou, it was a storyline. Season three is like, who's telling this stuff that might not reflect well on Bethany, and how does that set up this war between Bethany and Jill? It was a huge part of what many of us consider one of the most creatively successful seasons of any franchise, if not the number one. Like, season three of New York to me is huge. So hearing that Erica was hurt, I mean, I was in the audience for that show. And I just also have to say that for anyone who's interested in seeing a live show, I know that the Bravo economy is what it is. There's a lot of opportunities, but I have always had an incredible time at reality. I always feel like I'm fucking it up when I say it out loud. Reality. Am I saying it right?
No,
reality.
You're doing fine. I say it both ways. Whatever comes out at the moment.
It's like it hurts my brain sometimes when I say it out loud.
Yeah, it has that effect on people. No, even mine. My brain is broken too. I say virtual reality. I say virtual reality. Like
because of the dash. I think the dash kind of like fucks with me in my head.
See, when the name was created, I was not in that meeting when the name was created. And yeah, I think the dash was meant to help, but
it hurts.
It's good. Yeah, it hurts. It's good to know that it hurts.
Well, suffice it to say, you have done a ton of live shows and they have been incredible. Your guest bookings are incredible. There's always a lot of press pickups. But the point of those shows is to be shady. And it's difficult because does Erica have the right to have hurt feelings? Absolutely. But also she understands that this is a part of the Bravo universe. You're right. Coming to an event. You're in front of fans. You want to deliver to the fans. If Sutton had just said, I wish her the best and it's going to be a great show. And I think the question that was posed by an audience member was shady. I think they had started it, right?
Well, and that's the thing too. Right. So like the question didn't even come from me or Danny. It did come from an audience member. And I think that, I mean, I'm glad that Erica and I cleared it up, but just hearing you talk about it right now, I'm like, wasn't she the one who was a showman talking about Dorit and PK? Like, doesn't she understand? I was surprised that she was so hurt because I think she does understand that concept of wanting to perform for a crowd and like giving the girls and gays everything they want. But then again, I think the difference here was me specifically and knowing that I was like a fan of the music and this was like specifically about her music. I think if we were talking about her hair or her earrings or anything else, I don't think she would have cared. I think it was like specifically about her music, her and her, you know, the show and everything. So I guess that was the difference. But yeah, people like to be shady in the Bravo universe. It just seems like a little par for the course. I don't know.
Yeah, and also Sutton was genuinely really funny. The question posed by the audience member was genuinely really funny. It's easy for me to say that because I'm not Erica, but also you have to have a sense of humor. And I just think of, we don't need to go down this path, but I just think of the, I forget which BravoCon it was. I think it was the first BravoCon and it was at the Beverly Hills panel. Someone asked Erica, I think the question was something along the lines of like, who's your musical influence or something? It was a very softball question. It could not have been more softball, especially considered what was to come. And she refused to answer. Her response was like,
influence?
Yeah, it was. She was like, I'd like to keep that private. And she was so cold in that moment. And I just thought, first off, these people have paid a bajillion dollars to see you. You can tell them that you love
Britney Spears.
Right. Madonna, it would take literally 2 seconds. But also have a sense of humor here, especially because the reason that so many of us fell in love with her first season was because she came on and was like making jokes, wisecrack. She seemed more down to earth than perhaps the Erica that she has become.
Yeah.
So it's kind of unfortunate. And also it's surprising to me that she would try to, quote, punish you by not agreeing to an interview and walking by. Again, she has every right to make that decision, but also that's a disservice to her. She should want to have some press pickups, especially if she feels that you are a friend. Like I get her feeling a certain way, but also, you know what? There's going to come a time where people aren't necessarily going to want to pull you in for an interview. So why not have a little bit more of a sense of humor here and save some of the drama for talking to Sutton about it when cameras are up?
That's very true. Yeah. I mean, that's it's so fun. Like another thing that happened at a live show, and I think you were there for the Gertie show, right?
Oh my God.
Okay. When Gertie said
which
that,
also became a part of Miami.
Yeah. We were honestly so shocked and delighted that
I was very
shocked. Like Gertie and Larsa, like they made it fun, you know?
Yeah.
They really did something with it.
Yeah. But so, can you explain what happened?
So basically, we were doing this like little game inspired by Dr. Nicole's mirror. Well, I guess we'll call it a stunt where she's disinvited Larsa from a engagement party.
I forget.
It was some event hosted by Dr. Nicole and she and Larsa were not getting along. And so she sent this disinvitation. It was mirrored and it was written like mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fakest one of all you? You're not invited to my party anymore, bitch. I mean, basically. And so we played this game where like we got these like magic mirrors and we were asking questions like mirror, mirror on the wall. So then we asked mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fakest of them all? And, you know, Gertie took a little beat and then she was like Larsa. And then that just kicked things off for this last season of Miami, which we were not expecting that whatsoever, but it was fun to be included and we love Gertie so much. And I enjoy Larsa at times. I do. The thing is, like with Miss Larsa, I've had moments with her she's a tough interview. She's a woman of few words, and it's tough for her to. Maybe it's not tough for her to open up. Maybe it's tough for me to get her to open up. I'm not really sure what the issue is. I will say one time I did do a joint interview with her and Marcus when they were promoting their podcast, and I don't know if it was the comfort of having someone with her, but that was my best experience with Larsa. And I will say, despite the drama and mess of their breakup, on and off situation, whatever, together they were a lot of fun, and he was such a nice guy, and she was in such a great mood, and I really enjoyed those 20 minutes with the two of them.
How much of Larsa's sort of press persona and being somewhat withholding could you attribute to her being a part of the Kardashian cycle, where it's like they have to look a certain, and I am a Kardashian fan. I'm not talking shit about them, but they have honed the ability to seem shocked and surprised by paparazzi stalking them at every occasion, or just popping out at every occasion, and a certain look of like, I'm not going to deliver for you, either because I'm saving it for the show, or even not that. Like, there's a certain kind of tempered strategic silence that I think is a part of what has garnered them so much additional attention. I just wonder how that has impacted Larsa's kind of Kardashian-esque cosplay.
Yes. Wow. Yes. I think it's impacted it a lot. I think she's picked up a lot of what she knows about being a public persona from Kim and the girls. And I, you know, even with the way she, first of all, I love the way Larsa talks. I love her voice. I love her voice. I could listen to her talk all day.
Yeah, it's very soothing. I find it genuinely very soothing.
Yes, I absolutely totally agree. Love it. And like her voice compared to season one Larsa, it's just a lot different. It's very Kim inspired. And that's fine. Like, we talk like our friends. Like, I'm sure if you heard my voice from 10 years ago, I sound completely different. So no shade to her for that. But that's just to say, I think like, a lot of her life and who she is Kardashian inspired, from the voice to the look. And I do think to the way that she handles fame and the media. But I think it sort of works for her, because while she's not Kim Kardashian, I think that she sort of has like an elevated space within the Bravo fandom, just because of her. I mean, I do think she's a star. She definitely has like star quality to her. But I think a lot of it has to do with her adjacency to A-list fame.
Yeah.
Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls, to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clofus. all at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity, because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea. So there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sauteed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/andyscrolls or enter code andyscrolls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code andyscrolls or going to cookunity.com/andyscrolls. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is aglow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So, Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls.
I feel like it's like osmosis, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love that for her. I think that's amazing. She just had those connections going into all of this and it worked out for her. And also, like, I said her look was inspired by the Kardashians. I think she looks, she's a beautiful woman. Like, no matter what she's decided to do to change her appearance, I'm into it. I'll inject my face with anything. Like, I will do, give me whatever. Like, I wish I had the funds to do more, because like, it's so much fun.
Listen, people have the right to do whatever they want, but it is tough when you're like, this is just natural. Or
I know. Well, that's the thing too. That's,
but
like,
people have the right to keep things private, but that's when you pretend that
it's not that something it's else natural. Going on.
Right. Yeah. That's when it gets, because you're just setting up this standard that's incredibly unrealistic. With the Kardashians, that's a major issue, is that they say diet and exercise. And while that is all fine and good, there are other things at play here, but you're reinforcing the standard that these things are achievable without an injectable, without a copay. And that's just not the truth. It's just not, right. That's not the truth, at least for their dynamics.
Totally. Yeah. No, I appreciate anyone who's honest and open about whatever they do. Like, I love how so many of these housewives are so transparent about their Ozempic use, some of the work they've had done. I don't know. I just love hearing those stories, because like, as someone who's definitely played around in that area too, like I've been on Ozempic twice. I got a liquid nose job, and if you're listening to this, you can't see, but Sarah can see there's a little black dot on the tip of my nose.
Oh my God.
And that is a scar from my body rejecting the filler that went into my nose to get a liquid nose job. So Like, it actually happened. So after I got this liquid nose job, the immediate results, which I did like right before my wedding, beautiful. I had a little button nose. I was obsessed with it. And my injector in LA, she's wonderful. I love her so much. It had nothing to do with her work. It's just like, sometimes there is that off chance that your body like physically is like, fuck this. And my body said, fuck this filler in my nose. And for like the next month, I thought it was just a blister or healing. I wasn't sure what it was. I thought it was like eventually just going to like come off, but it was just like this bubble that kept like getting a little bit bigger.
Oh God.
And it was like brown and it was blue and it was black.
No,
and
it was, ew, ew, ew.
It was just really ugly. And I was like, fuck, fuck, fuck. And actually it was still there. It was very present during our December live show. With Bryn and Jessel and Danielle and Fessler and those people. And that morning, I was in the shower in my hotel room, and I guess like the hot water.
Evan, it no. Just ew.
Popped.
Oh my God.
And then clear filler just started like Evan? Secreting out of my nose. And then for the next month, after every shower, a bubble would appear and I would have to just take it off with like a Q-tip. So now I don't believe there's any filler left in my nose. And now I just want the real deal. I just want rhinoplasty.
Wait, but have you been checked out by a doctor? They say you're okay.
I went to my, so the thing is, life got really busy after my filler.
Evan, you have filler coming out of your nose. You need to be like, Jessel, I'll be with you in 10 minutes. I need to hop on a video with my doctor or whatever, or go to urgent care.
So after my filler vacated my face, it was like Christmas time and I was traveling.
Oh my God. Santa does not want filler to come out of your nostril, sweetie.
I know. She was like, if anything happens, just like tell me, book a new appointment, whatever, we'll figure it out.
This would qualify.
Yeah, this would qualify, but I was just, I didn't. And so I just am still here with my little black dot. But I did go to see her before I left to move to New York. I got some Botox. She did a laser treatment on the little black dot to like try and make it less. I think it made it less just a little bit, but it looks like I have more laser treatments ahead of me. But I haven't been super worried about it because I am very serious about like getting an actual nose job, and I think they could just sort of like shave it off.
Okay. Well, I mean, I feel like the lesson here, which isn't really a lesson, is that there is a way that housewives talk about elective procedures, and that this is just a great thing. And you wake up one day, or, you know, the way we see it, it might be off season. We may not have seen these women on TV. And then the first episode airs, I'm like, who's that person? Mm. Like, she seems vaguely familiar and they look beautiful, but you haven't necessarily seen the cost associated with this. And we don't really get into that, like the danger of some of these elective procedures or whatever else is involved. There are real dangers to consider. And
like,
so,
filler falling out of your face.
I don't know any of that, honestly, because my thing is like, if I want to change something, it's to add shoes to the cloth. I'm very much like, I don't really have. That's just not my journey. I'm kind of like, you throw on a lipstick and call it a day, but like literally
that's the way to shoes. Go though. Yeah.
I also just kind of, from a financial perspective, would much rather go to Paris. You know what I'm saying? So than like true. Have Botox, which I'm not interested in. It's very expensive.
You have very nice skin though.
Thank you so much. Well, I do eventually have to get a septoplasty, which would probably be a septorhinoplasty, because I once got assaulted by a homeless man in a drive-by fruiting. He threw an apple that I had given him at my nose, and like I heard the thwop, and went to the ENT and she's like, you have a deviated septum. I was like, mazel tov. And then I fell on a box of, I don't know why it always matters that I say the brand, but I tripped and fell on a box of Snacklins during COVID because I just had boxes in my hallway just with like extra gluten-free pasta and just really storing for the war we were in and the one to come. And I was holding my laptop, a mug, and a cup. And then I tripped on the Snacklins. I landed with my head on the ground. It was a very quick fall, but it's like your life flashes before you. I was like, oh, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And then the computer sort of shot up into my face. So I landed on my nose when I landed on the ground. And then everything I was carrying sort of shot up. So the computer went back on my nose. It was a double whammy. And then I went to an ENT and he's like, oh yeah, that's not great. So we could maybe do like a septo whatever, because I do have some problems breathing, but more importantly for me, I was happy with my nose because I have my grandmother's nose, but now I no longer have my grandmother's nose.
Oh, did it really change the appearance?
Yeah, because it? And it's like, it looks like a little, if you really stare at it, it's almost like there's a little kind of wiggle. And I went back to my ENT because I was like, I'm really, this is like not great. And he said, well, what we could do, and he's a lovely man, I really enjoy my ENT, but he was like, what we could do is I could, you know, schedule for a septoplasty. And when we go under, I could make a little change. And I just kind of thought, I talked to somebody who was like, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
He should do what he's supposed to do, but not more stuff for fun and maybe get this checked out. But it's so, it's just, I don't think insurance would cover it, even though I actually think insurance should cover it because it's a medical need because my breathing has changed.
Yeah. I know someone, a friend of a friend who got
a septorhino?
Yeah. And basically
Alexis Bellino coded. Yeah. Honestly, remember when they pulled, I still remember when they pulled out of her nose. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And so what happened with them?
They also got the suggestion we can do a little this and that.
Yeah.
And they got it and they loved it. So but that's because they didn't like their nose before. So if you like your nose and they
I like my nose. I would like to go back to my nose. And there's this whole thing of like ethnic rhinoplasties, and because I am Jewish and my grandmother's nose, I mean, I just loved her nose. I loved having my nose. I would not, my worst case scenario is honestly sort of like Jen Aiden, and that's no disrespect, but like, I just slope. Like, that's not for me. I want to keep the character on my face, but I also hate that it has changed. And I also don't feel the need, you know, people were also critical. There's no way to win. It's either you're criticized for not loving yourself and exactly how you look, or you're criticized for, trying to change your appearance. And it's just at the end of the day, it's if a person wants to make a change and it's an educated decision, it's an informed decision, and they have the money in which to do it, I just think I sort of support whatever makes you feel good in life. And hopefully it's not related to what can become for some people slightly disordered with the constantly trying to change yourself. And are you trying to change yourself to go to a Kardashian level standard, which is just honestly simply not realistic. Right. It just really, it isn't. And the quality of what they're getting. So it's like people are trying to get XYZ, but the ladies over there in BH, it's just an entirely different structure and system and cost. So it's tough because there was a part of me that was like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to change. That's just never been my, let me change my personality. That's not been my journey at all. So I kind of struggled with it. Also the financial stuff involved in that, for whatever insurance doesn't pick up. I was like, I'd rather go to Europe. I'm just that person. Like, until the point in which it's really medically necessary, I would just rather go on a trip. That's where I find joy. That's where I love myself. And like, if you love yourself and your body and the way you look, I look at photos of myself for all of these trips that I take, and I'm just so happy that I feel like that is more important to me.
Right.
And that's not a criticism at all. That's just the, like, when you think of what will make you happy, that's my love language, is going on a trip, being somewhere where I am completely, you know, finding myself in a place that feels unknown. That is what, you know, makes my nose look great.
That is so beautiful, as opposed to finding yourself with filler falling off.
I just don't want more filler to fall off your nose, sweetie. And we have not seen that on an episode of Housewives. But I feel like, because some of the work that we have seen has been, I think the work has actually been better over the years, but maybe some of the earlier years, we've seen some tough cosmetic procedure results.
Yeah.
I mean, poor, poor sweet Vicky, who looks incredible now, but that clam bake, that will stay with me for the rest of my life. When she showed up with that chin and then everybody lost their appetite, like it was unfair. It was unfair for her to make that decision for us and also herself and production. They should have just been like, let's just delay our entire production schedule for maybe like 6 more weeks.
Vicky has been through so much physically, like in terms of like the work and the filler and the surgeries and stuff. So I just, applaud her for having the strength, courage, tenacity, bravery, wherewithal, endurance to like get through it all. Because as much as I'm excited about getting a nose job, or I say I'll put this in my face and that in my face, etc., when I'm doing the thing, like when I'm getting a procedure, like I did like lasers on my face and that hurt like hell. Like it's not easy and it's all painful. And so the fact that Vicky did something to get her chin that way, that probably didn't feel very good. I just, my heart goes out to her, but I'm so happy for whatever part of her journey she's in currently, because she does look incredible. And she was actually at that DirecTV party for the Oscars thing that I was talking about with Erica Jane. And let me tell you what, Vicky in real life, like she has never looked better. She looks phenomenal. She was wearing this like backless, like purple situation, and like the back was backing and the spray tan. Oh, she looks so good.
She does. She talked about the Miss Piggy of it all at her live show. I went to her live show with Shan.
How was it?
Shan and Vicky live. So fun.
Yeah.
And they did this whole thing of like showing, was it, it was, I forget if it was a part of the show where they kind of showed scenes like Family Van, and they kind of talked about their reasoning behind these moments or like crazy pictures. And she talked about the Miss Piggy of it all. Wow. And the fact that, I might be fucking up what I remember her saying, so I apologize if I'm misquoting her or misattributing her response, but I believe that she said that the Miss Piggy, when he, when that part of Orange County where he was being a fake comedian and went on stage and body shamed her and compared her to Miss Piggy, that that is one of the reasons why she got plastic surgery, because she was so upset about it, which is just so unbelievably upsetting when you think of that, that it's not coming from a place of, I'm making this decision and this change because I want to do it for myself. It's coming from a place of defensiveness of, I don't want people to make fun of me. And the fact that it's, that alone is terrible, but also it's a man doing this to this woman. It just is, it's so upsetting. And I don't know how housewives deal with that, because, you know, people struggle with a variety of things. Some could be body dysmorphia or something else, diagnosed or not. But when you go on Housewives, the ways that cast members, audience members feel that they own your body and can use it as needed, it could be a vessel for rage, revenge, whatever else. I don't know how you handle that and survive it without it really kind of being somewhat of a trauma.
Yeah, I certainly cannot do it. I mean, even when I look at comments on social media, like with our like podcast videos and stuff, like I haven't really ever gotten any sort of like shit about my appearance. I know that it would be debilitating because of the my own thoughts about my appearance. Like I'm definitely one of those people who like hate seeing myself on camera. And actually this like whole like fucking nose drama happened because, you know, as I've been doing more podcast video stuff, I see my profile more. And so I'm looking at my nose and I'm like, fuck, I look like Elphaba and I want to look like Tinkerbell. Like I just like my, like when I see my nose, all I can see is like it hooking down. And I'm like, I hate that. And so now I'm like gonna probably get a nose job to correct it. So yeah, I, as a housewife, like if I had that big of a platform and that much more visibility and all these judgments on how I look, like I truly don't think I would, like I would crumble. Like I don't think I could handle it. And this is like, I don't know, just as like a gay boy growing up with like body image issues and all that stuff. And, you know, being a heavy kid and fluctuating weight and just like, I got so many hangups, like it's a lot. So anyways, but that's like small compared to what these women are probably going through. I just like can't imagine it. But if I was a housewife, you best believe I'd have a season one face, a season two face, a season three face. Like I would look like Cat Lady by the end of it.
Well, we would hope for better than Cat Lady. Jocelyn Wildenstein, what the fuck is her name? Is she still with us? I think she is.
I
think she's still in her 90s.
We gotta look into this. Okay.
She's doing great, I think.
Okay.
And may her memory be a blessing, if not. Regardless, now, honestly. Yeah. Now, regardless. You know, it's a tough, a complicated journey, I would say, to go on Housewives. It's a complicated journey to be a person in this universe. So to sign up for this, it does not mean you are giving permission for other people to try to trigger or violate you.
Yeah.
But I just don't know how you prepare yourself for this? Because I also don't think people are better prepared now for Housewives than they were before we knew what Housewives was, let alone what it would become. But you don't really know until you're in it, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how, from a press perspective, that affects your relationships with Housewives. Like, for example, you had this great conversation with Erica. It was focused on music. So maybe she thought that you would be a little bit more of an ally to her, specific to music-based zest and sass at this live event. But then how do those other relationships with Housewives work? Like, once you develop... You have to have a relationship with these women for the purposes of media, for podcasting. You want to be friendly. How do you maintain that line of not crossing over into like becoming friends unless you want that to happen? Because I would think then there would be an expectation there of quote unquote friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to support and defend and maybe not write things.
Right. It honestly, it's tough because if you're a housewife in a chair next to me and we have a cute little 30-minute conversation, chances are I'm gonna love you.
Yeah.
Whether you are the most hated girl on the franchise or the most beloved girl on the franchise, if we have like a sweet little moment, like and a moment of connection, like I'm gonna like you and it's gonna feel like you're my friend. Obviously, we're covering news, we're covering the show, we're sharing our opinions. And I will say, like, it is a little bit of a difficult dance. I don't want to say I protect the housewives that I'm friendly with, but because I know them and I appreciate them and I adore them, I'm probably not gonna really talk shit about them. I mean, unless they do something like absolutely crazy and it must be discussed, but I'm not just gonna, like, you know, go after this girl's outfit choice or like, I, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm friends with someone and I have a connection, like, I'm probably not gonna talk shit. And it's crazy because, you know, with the Real Housewives of New Jersey, it's such a divisive situation, such a divisive cast. Obviously, a lot of people accuse Danny and I of being in bed with a certain half of the couch, like the Marge, Melissa, Fuda, Danielle, Dolores-y kind of side of things. And the only reason it appears that way is because we've built relationships with these women because they like to play with us. Like, they have a good time. We have great connections. Like, I don't know Jennifer Aiden. I don't know Teresa Giudice because they haven't created a space for me to get to know them. But literally everyone on that cast, like Jackie, Jen, Dolores, Margaret, Melissa, Rachel Fuda, did I already say Jen Fessler, who I love and adore so much? Like, I've gotten to know each and every one of them, and I love them so much. If I got to know Jennifer Aiden and Teresa in the same way, I'm sure that I would also develop some sort of penchant for either of them. And so the thing is, people see us interviewing Danielle or Melissa or Fuda, and these people have contentious relationships with Jennifer Aiden and Teresa Giudice. So they're sharing their perspective, and Danny and I are, you know, nodding along and listening and giving them the floor. But the floor is theirs because they came to it.
Mm.
Like, so people think that we favor them. It's not that we favor them. It's just that we're getting access to them. And so we are then a vessel for their thoughts, feelings, opinions, and hot takes. We could and would be the same for Jennifer Aiden and Teresa. But unfortunately, Jennifer Aiden has been like on a low-key PR ban for like the past few seasons of Housewives. So it's not, you can't easily chat with her. I mean, now that New Jersey is over as we know it, and you know she likes to chat with bloggers and the media, apparently I'm not one of them, you know, maybe we could get her on the podcast and have a little chit chat with her. When I have chatted with her before, I honestly really do enjoy her. And Teresa, on, you know, in my moments with her, I've really enjoyed her. Danny and I talked to Teresa and Louis on the carpet at BravoCon. They couldn't have been kinder, nicer, sweeter, like more gracious with their time. She complimented my bedazzled polo and it made me melt. So like, we can have more of those moments. I just want to like make it clear for anyone who is listening who has thought that Danny and I have some sort of weird like back-end relationship with the other, like we don't. It's just that they want to have fun with us, so we're able to have fun with them.
Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the Clawfiss. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year. And in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndysGirls through December 31. Ever feel like you're too busy watching a beloved Bravo marathon to eat healthy? Meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution, like spicy chicken tinga tacos with black beans and pico de gallo, which I got to make and enjoy this week. I was able to swap in a vegan substitute for the chicken and had one of those dishes I will remember. Unlike Padmalakshmi, I am not a top chef. Sunbasket is so easy. It comes with super easy to follow directions. And if I can do it and love doing it in the people's kitchen, so can you. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home. Try it for 4 weeks and see how your clean eating can change the way you feel. And Sunbasket can fit my lifestyle and many more, including Mediterranean, carb conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more. And as I did, it's super easy to customize recipes to meet your exact needs. I don't feel constricted by looking at vegan or vegetarian only. Sunbasket makes it possible to eat your best your way. You can swap red meat for chicken or turkey, or like me, swap in a vegan protein. Plus, Sunbasket offers pre-made meals, delicious single-serving meals that are ready to eat in less than 5 minutes, which is just around a commercial break from RHOC. There's something for every health journey, mine included, and every busy lifestyle. It's easy to use Sunbasket to achieve your kind of healthy. Go to sunbasket.com/AndysGirls today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/AndysGirls to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order.
Well, that's interesting because from what I'm hearing, it's like people or the housewives themselves have an opinion that, well, we've talked about being Gorgita crunches before.
Yeah, I love Melissa Gorga, yes.
We love, but also that there might be an opinion that, oh, you give more time and space to a certain perspective. Well, that's because they're available.
It's reciprocal.
It's reciprocal. But the flip side of that is if you're potentially Teresa or Jen or someone on their team and they're seeing that there's maybe more coverage or time or access given to another perspective, I could understand them feeling like we might not get that same level of treatment. But the flip side to that is it's because of access.
Right.
Like the reason that you would be just as cordial to Tree or Jen if they came on the pod, but they're not coming on the pod. But maybe the reason they're not coming on the pod is because they're seeing other people's voices get picked up on the podcast, on Page right. Six. You guys get picked up by every known media entity, you know, when you have these conversations. So it is one of those things of like, I don't know that it's quite chicken or the egg, but it is a sort of self-fulfilling or self-defeating prophecy.
Right.
And there's not really a way around it.
No, I mean, because whenever we have reached out to Teresa or her people, it just never really goes anywhere. So we've, you know, in a way, given up. Like, we would obviously love to talk to her whenever. I'm hoping that maybe she's available for press for House of Villains season 2.
Yes.
The thing is, like, I know that Teresa has been accused of doing things to the cast members who Danny and I talk to frequently, but like, I'm not here to pick sides. I'm just here to be a podcaster, be a journalist, and talk to whoever wants to talk to us and just have like a nice conversation. So if Teresa or Jennifer Aiden want to have a conversation, I'm absolutely open to it. Cause like, I'm not a Tree hugger by any means, but I'm not a Tree hater. Like,
yeah.
I obviously like appreciate what she's brought to the franchise. And at the end of the day, like, New Jersey wouldn't be what it is without her. And I do think that Jennifer Aiden for many years added a lot to the show too. I mean, has it gotten dark in recent years? Certainly, not only because of her, but she's a little responsible for a lot of the darkness happening. But like, I don't know. When she first came on the scene, obsessed. Like, I was so obsessed. I loved the 16 bathrooms. I think Bill is such a cutie. I love her mom. I love, love, love her daughters. I love her daughters so much. I think they are so cool. And whatever you want to say about Jennifer Aiden, she raised some really cool kids, at least from what we see on the show. They just seem like so cool. Like, if I have daughters, I want them to be just like her
little
daughters.
Little Aiden.
They're so cute. Olivia and Gabby.
Other ones.
My faves are obviously the girls, like Olivia and Gabby.
We see more of them on camera.
Yeah, because they're little hams. Like, yeah. They're so good, especially Olivia. She's
destined to be a star.
Yeah.
She loved it. She's truly, like, sort of her own stage mom. Like, she really
is. Like, yeah. She is her own stage mom.
You know what I'm saying? She's like, get out there and shine. Okay, me. I totally will. Noting all things Jersey are kind of up in the air, I have a question for you about the future of New Jersey. First, what do you maybe think is going to happen? And then sort of a larger scale question. But starting with the what do you think is going to happen, have you heard any word on the street, rumors or nastiness, noting that the network has said we're not going to make our mind up for several months?
I don't know that this is like even constitutes it being a rumor, but a theory that keeps coming up in conversations with people closely connected to the show. It's and anyone who says this is, it's just speculation, it's just a hypothesis, it's just an idea, is that the Dolo, Melissa, Marge, Fuda, Danielle, Fessler, they're all still involved. Aiden's never mentioned. And Teresa gets a spinoff. And then we let Teresa sail off into the sunset with her spinoff. And then we bring back the other girls I mentioned and add some newbies to the mix and see how that works out.
What would Teresa's spinoff be centered around?
I suppose her family.
Uh-huh.
I think I love her and her daughters. Like, we love those daughters.
Right. We love those daughters.
I love them.
Love.
I'm obsessed with Gia. I'm obsessed with Melania. Oh my God. I'm obsessed with Melania.
I'm obsessed with Melania.
Love her. And then obviously, like, Gabriella and Adriana, wonderful too. Don't know. so much about them. But yeah. Anyways, love her daughter. So maybe it would be about like her and the daughters. I think the unfortunate thing is, you know, Louis does have a reputation in this world. And so I don't really know how he fits into like a tardy for the party-esque 30-minute family. That's like what I'm envisioning, is like just like Teresa's crazy family. So yeah, I don't know. Like, what do you have an opinion about Louis?
I think that there are a couple different options for the future of New Jersey, but there's the same question regardless, which is, what do you do about Louis? What do you do about Louis if Teresa is the only housewife back and they rebuild Jersey around her, which they absolutely could? What do they do if they give her a spinoff? Because what would it be centered around? Also, her kids are getting older, in college, out of college. Gia's going to be doing her own show. So I don't even know if the focus was on Teresa and her family, if the reason that Teresa might not be back on New Jersey, which we don't know, she very well might be back. They very well might build the show around her, completely TBD. But if she is not back, and the reason she is not back is, unfortunately for her, maybe not even as much about her as it is her husband, I don't know how that is resolved by giving him more camera time, which would be what would happen on a spinoff. And it feels like they are much more of a package deal than people might be aware, like with personal appearances, with her podcasting stuff. Like, they really do seem to want to work together a lot. I don't begrudge that for them at all, and I understand it. I actually think in a universe, you could say, how lovely that these people are married and want to spend all of this time together. I get it, but also I just think he is such a question mark and so toxic and dark and dangerous that I don't know how you resolve that. And I don't know that the network does, if they're thinking that way. I don't know that they are. And knowing that the network can, you know, make decisions that aren't necessarily great because it's to their financial benefit, they're not, it's not a friendship circle, it's a entertainment channel that has a huge, you know, huge overlord looking over all of this, NBC Universal, like, they might just be thinking, what is going to bring us the most money or create the least amount of conflict within the brand? And that might be counterproductive with who's going to create the least amount of conflict for us behind the scenes. It might not end up with the same, you might be in kind of conflict with each other when it comes to priorities. I don't know how you resolve it. And I don't know what I think the pause for everyone is a great idea.
Totally.
And I think that, you know, Teresa has been such an important part of the Housewives universe. She is absolutely no question on Mount Rushmore. But we're in a different space now, and she has made decisions in her personal life and on the show that might have, you know, some consequences. And I also completely understand people who say you cannot move forward in New Jersey without her. And if the network agrees, which they very well might, absolutely, the only way to move forward is with all new people, because there's no one on New Jersey, I think, that it makes sense to move forward with her. Doesn't make sense. Danielle and she are not in a good place. Obviously, Rachel is an LOL. Marge, LOL. Melissa, LOL. And Jen, I don't think, is coming back regardless because the network is done. So did I miss? And Fessler, TB, Fessler, it could be Teresa, Jen Fessler, and
Dolores.
But Teresa and Jen Fessler aren't doing great because Fessler has said publicly, was it with Page Six? I forget
on the podcast. It was.
But she said it on Watch What Happens. She was like, I have since received more information from Marge about the call to her son, and I do believe that Louis was behind it, and I'm uncomfortable with stuff that has happened since the show. It's changed my perspective, which obviously is going to change her relationship with Teresa.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Danny and I actually, today we had Renee Graziano from Mom
Oh,
Lives.
My God.
She was honestly.
Did you record that in a meat locker? Please tell me you did. The most iconic reunion battle of all time.
So, no, she is such a star, but she came in with her sister, terrifying. Jennifer.
Okay.
They are launching new podcasts together in the next month. So that's what they were promoting. Oh, my God. Talking about a potential.
Is it called Forget About It? What is it called? Bada Bing?
So it's actually two separate podcasts. So,
of course.
Jen's, who's the creator, she's Renee's sister and the creator of Mob Wives. Her podcast is called Straightened Out. So they're going to be, it sounds to me sort of like a rewatch podcast.
Okay, where
they're
great. Like
watching the show back and straightening out.
Love it.
You know, drama, leftover questions, etc.
Cool.
And then Renee's is called Crisis Queen, Cry, CRYSIS. Crisis Queen because.
Crisis.
Uh huh.
Okay, got it.
She said because she likes the crisis. And she's. She's going to be she's going to be sort of like unpacking the different traumas, like, you know, losing her dad.
Oh, now you're getting into serious stuff. And I'm laughing about the spelling of C-R-Y-S-I-S.
She made the joke. She made the joke.
Lord. But these are really serious things.
Yeah, like addiction, like that kind of stuff.
Great for her for using that platform in that way. That's incredible.
Yeah, no, she's incredible. But we were interested to get their take on the New Jersey pause. But I was like really more interested to get Jennifer's take as a producer. Like, what would she do? They know all the Jersey girls. Like, they're very much in that world. And she said that, you know, without a doubt, they're not going to lose Teresa. Teresa is the show. She made the show. They're going to keep Teresa no matter what. And then she said, and I bet you they're going to convince Melissa to stay and then just keep Teresa and Melissa and cast new girls. Because she was basically saying, like, the show is nothing without Teresa and Melissa. But I agree with that to some extent, but if they've reached a dead end and they're not going to be interacting together on camera, how does that work? I don't know. But if more so than she thinks they'll keep Melissa, she was like, they absolutely will keep Teresa. So I thought that was an interesting perspective from her. It's weird because I feel like there are a lot of fans who love the Melissa Marge side of the situation. But the tree huggers, the Teresa stands, like, that's a really loud portion. And so I don't know which fandom is bigger, because I think there is a lot of support for the Melissa Marge et al. But I think that the Teresa stands are much louder. So it's like hard to decipher who has like the bigger fan base. And I also imagine that they're going to be doing like focus groups and stuff,
and I'm sure they're going to do casting regardless, just like to see what's out there,
yeah,
and see how it fits in. It might not be, I mean, my recommendation to them would, which I'm assuming that they're going to do, is not to make any decisions until they have an idea, like cast a wide net, see what's going on, because you might be surprised by some of the people who come in who have existing relationships with other people. And then from there, try to figure out who from the original ideal of New Jersey, who from the most recent cast works in this dynamic, and can that work where two different worlds are coming together? Will that work? Does that power structure and power struggle make sense? Is that going to really kind of bear the fruit that will pay off with good content? And the suggestion of Teresa Melissa moving forward, on its head, you would think like, absolutely not. But you saying that out loud, I'm like, you know what? I would not be against that. But I also think, I don't know that we can move forward. If the point of the show and the reason that the end of the season flopped so hard is because these people refuse to film with each other, why on God's green earth would you take 2 years off and then reset with two people who don't want to film together? Then what was the point of not having a reunion and not having a... So you're saying there's no way that would work. You're saying in this new universe, so we'll never have a reunion again. It'll be split rooms because these people can't talk to each other. There's no way. You have to make a judgment call. And it's maybe not a good decision regardless. Maybe the reality that we need to face with New Jersey is like, there might not be a great answer. There's certainly not everyone is going to be happy. The majority probably won't, regardless of what happens. But I also think, you know, the tree huggers are loud. Team Marge, Melissa, Gorgita Crunches are loud too, but there is also a silent majority of people who aren't on social media, don't voice their opinions as loudly and sometimes rage-filled on social media and are also, they don't have a specific allegiance to Teresa or Melissa. They have an allegiance to good TV.
Yeah.
And I think that they're, I think most viewers, correct me if I'm wrong, genuinely don't necessarily, you might feel a kinship relationship with Teresa or Melissa or Marge or whomever else, but you are also like, these people actually aren't my family. So I'm not going to feel, maybe I'll feel a little sad if someone is fired or let go, but I need good TV. So whatever moves the story along into the future is what I am okay with. And I actually think that's the healthiest perspective. Might be the hardest for people, but I think that we, you know, the tree huggers, they have such an identity and it's one that sometimes they deserve, sometimes they don't. But I don't think that they are the majority voices, which is not me saying that Teresa is not more popular than Melissa. It's not me saying that at all. I'm just saying the ways that I think most viewers communicate on social is not that. I think most people are watching the show, not necessarily using social media for it. And while there are many others who do, I think that at the end of the day, they're just looking to have fun. Okay, Lord knows I have more to say. So this is going to be a two-parter. So head on over to part two, available now.
This podcast is brought to you by the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics. 7 legendary titles, including X-Men vs. Street Fighter and Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Enjoy new features like online multiplayer, training, and gallery modes. Plus, join in on the action with one-button specials, where players of all skill levels can unleash those epic moves with ease. Relive the classic arcade battles. Get your hands on the Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection today. Available now on PlayStation 4, PC, and Nintendo Switch.